Thank you. ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ,
ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ
ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ। These rather harsh words were spoken by Guru Nanak Sahib in the early 16th century. Guru Nanak Sahib is not a person that we normally associate with harsh words. When we think of our first guru, we think of love and devotion. And of course he was filled with love and devotion. But Satsangaji, it's a mistake to think that the Khalsa tradition of standing up to oppression was started by Guru Gobind Singh Ji in 1699 when he gave us the Siri Sab that we proudly wear today. This tradition was started by none other than Guru Nanak Sahib himself. In the early 16th century, let's reflect upon these words and let's reflect upon the circumstances that made him utter these words. So he says, Raje Singh Mukaddam Kutte, the kings have turned into hungry lions, and those who serve the king's men, have turned into rabid dogs. What possibly could prompt Guru Nanak Sahib to say something like this? He goes on to say, Jaya Jagayan Baithe Sutte, they go to the innocent who sleep, rudely wake them up, prey upon them. What is he talking about? He's talking about the invasion of Babur, an adventurer from Uzbekistan who attacked northern India in the early 1500s. Babur was no different from a lot of other tyrants and conquerors of his time. And the result of that was horrible violence descended upon the people of the Punjab. Guru Nanak Sahib was in Ahmedabad, which is in modern-day Pakistan, north of the capital Lahore, when he witnessed the sack of Ahmedabad by Babur and his troops. And this is what prompted him to utter these harsh words in condemnation of Babur's atrocities. Chakkar nenda payan ghao, rat pit kutte ho chak jao. From time immemorial, there is an expectation that princes will be just, kings will be just and merciful. Unfortunately, that's not always so. And Guru Nanak Sahib describes the behavior of the servants of this unjust king. He says that with their nails, they gouge the innocent and they draw blood, and then these rabid dogs go and lick that blood and devour the innocent. And then finally, he says in warning, Jithe jiyan hosi saar nakki vaddi layat baar. There will be a day of reckoning. These tyrants will be called to account. It will happen someday. What prompted this recollection, Satsangaji, are the events that occurred in Amritsar exactly to the day 31 years ago. Many of us have been to the Sri Harmandir Sahib in Amritsar. We know it to be one of the most beautiful and peaceful places on earth, not just for Sikhs, but for people of all faiths. Yet, on this day, 31 years ago, the Sri Harmandir Sahib was not peaceful. It was the site of a horrendous massacre. Of course, I am talking about Operation Blue Star. Satsangaji's semantics are important. in the cycle of violence that was triggered by the attack on Sri Harmandir Sahib, we all know the history and we don't have time to go into it in great depth today. But the horrible violence that occurred several months after the attack to this day is dismissed as a riot, as opposed to a massacre. The triumph of semantics. But why should we not worry about semantics? When we commemorate this year, this day, every year, let's start calling it what it was. There have been two other instances in Sikh history. The first one occurred in the early 18th century, and coincidentally, it was also triggered in that same town of Ahmedabad, where the chief of Ahmedabad, Jaspat Rai, was killed in a battle by a band of Sikhs. In retaliation, his brother, whose name was Lakhpat Rai, who was the dog in this instance, and the hungry lion was his master, Yahya Khan, who was the governor of Lahore. Lakhpat Rai was so incensed by the death of his brother that with Yahya Khan's blessing, he gathered a large force and started hounding the Sikhs, who started retreating northwards. And then finally, in the foothills of Jammu, close to a town called Parol, is where a terrible, terrible massacre occurred, in which, it is said, more than 7,000 Sikh men, women, and children were butchered by the forces of Yahya Khan and Lakhpat Rai. This incident, hundreds of years later today, is referred to as the Chota Kalukara, or the Small Massacre. To differentiate it from the Vada Kalukara, or the Large Massacre, which was perpetrated decades later by the Afghan king Ahmad Shah Abdali. Ahmad Shah Abdali, in his lifetime, invaded northern India, I believe, 8 or 9 times. The great Mughal Empire that Babur had established more than 200 years ago by perpetrating the violence that Guru Nanak Sahib condemned in the Shabad that we just sang together, that empire was crumbling. It could offer no resistance to the Afghan invaders. The only ones who offered any resistance to the Afghan invaders were the Sikhs in the Punjab. Every time Ahmad Shah would retreat through the Punjab back to Afghanistan, laden with treasures that he had looted, with caravans of young women in particular who had been enslaved, bands of Sikhs would fall upon the Afghans at the dead of night, relieve them of their loot, free the women, and convey them back to their homes. Happened again and again and again. Finally, Ahmad Shah Abdali was so incensed that he decided that he was going to finish the Sikhs once and for all. And that was the Vada Kalukara, or the great massacre that was perpetrated by Ahmad Shah Abdali. And it is said, the Sikh community was a small community at that time. A very significant percentage of the Sikh population was destroyed in a great massacre by Ahmad Shah Abdali. Yet, the Sikh Panth wasn't destroyed. It came back. It enjoyed a resurgence, which a few short decades later led to the establishment of one of the greatest empires that northern India had ever known, the great empire of Maharaja Ranjit Singh. In 1984, the hungry lion who sat on the throne of India was a woman. Her name was Indira Gandhi. There had been an agitation in the Punjab. Again, we don't have time to go through all the convoluted history, but I just want to reiterate a few things and put the events of 1984 within the context of our faith's history. Indira Gandhi knew that attacking the city Harmandir Sahib was going to have tremendous consequences. The ostensible reason given to the world for the attack on the Bar Sahib was that Janel Singh Bhindranwale and a band of so-called terrorists were ensconced in the Akal Takht, and they needed to be speedily evicted. Otherwise, with support from Pakistan, they were going to establish a breakaway Sikh nation. That was the ostensible excuse. This lie has been exposed numerous times by multiple reporters, analysts, who talk about the fact that the government had the opportunity to arrest Janel Singh Bhindranwale multiple times. In fact, they did, and they let him go. The real reason for attacking the Sri Harmandir Sahib was very simple. It was nothing but cynical election calculus. India has a 2% Sikh minority. India has a very large Hindu majority. The government of Indira Gandhi had always been a secular government, but their backs were against the wall. The right-wing Hindu party in India was speedily making gains against the Congress party, using the Sikh agitation as an excuse. That's the reason why Indira Gandhi decided that the Sikhs had to be taught a lesson. The Sikhs had to be made an example of, so that the rest of the country would get a sense that the Prime Minister was strong and she was willing to put her foot down and stamp out the Sikh agitation, which, by the way, a lot of independent analysts again point to as being mostly peaceful and mostly a quest for the federal structure that the Indian constitution promises, but which was never really implemented in India. So what happened during those 3 days? The government was under the impression, which was true, that there was a very small band of armed men inside the city of Akal Takht. Now, they sent in a numbing amount of firepower to surround the Punjab, to surround the Golden Temple, after clamping a curfew in Amritsar and expelling all foreign correspondents. They were prepared. Yet, the presumption was that a short commando raid was all that it was going to take to flush out the small band of men, capture them, parade them in front of the press. It would be a great publicity coup, and it would pay rich dividends from an electoral point of view. I was in Calcutta in March with the play Kotar's Mind that several of you are aware of, and I went to pay my respects to Sardar Saran Singh, who is now in his 90s. He was a contemporary of the former Prime Minister Manmohan Singh and a member of the elite Indian Civil Service. Sardar Saran Singh was a powerful bureaucrat in the Indian government in 1984, and he sat across from the table and told me that I went to see Indira Gandhi a few days before she attacked the city Harmandir Sahib to beseech her to not make this mistake, to understand what the city Harmandir Sahib was to the Sikh psyche, and he was prevented by her handlers from seeing her. He went multiple times, but he was not allowed to see her. Maybe he could have stopped her, but the consequence of 1984, what happened 31 years ago, was that the first wave of commandos who attacked were all killed because the defenses were strong. The second wave suffered casualties. And then once the army started suffering much greater casualties than they had anticipated, that's when all hell broke loose. The army was given permission to bring the largest tanks in the Indian arsenal. Multiple tanks rolled into the peaceful precincts of the Sri Harmandir Sahib. A pitched battle was fought, and the city of Kal Takht Sahib was reduced to rubble with tank fire. The defenders all died. Of course, they were going to die. But what happened after the battle stopped really brings back echoes of the things that Babur and his men did in Ahmedabad in the early 16th century. Every Sikh was a suspect. Guru Arjan Sahib's Shahidi Divas was being celebrated. For the past several days, a curfew had been imposed, and pilgrims were allowed to enter the Golden Temple complex but not leave. As a result, sources estimate that there were 10,000 innocent pilgrims inside the city of Harmandir Sahib. And Sat Sangatji, all this information is out there. You just have to go look for it. Not produced by Sikhs, produced by independent human rights groups like the Citizens for Democracy, which published a slim report called Oppression in the Punjab, under the aegis of one of the most respected judges and jurists in India, also a non-Sikh, who talk about the terrible, terrible vengeance that the army exacted from innocent Sikhs in the aftermath of the battle. Things that are too horrendous almost to comprehend. These are the days that we commemorate in June by singing Guru Nanak Sahib's Bani, in which he unequivocally, using the harshest words possible, which is so improbable when we think of Guru Nanak Sahib, he condemns the tyrants. What does it mean for us? Does it mean that we should get excited? We should seek revenge? We should be filled with hatred for anyone, the Indian government, any community? No, of course not. That is not the way of Nanak. That is not the way of the Sikh Panth. Yet, justice and fighting for justice is fundamental to the Sikh ethos. We talked about the Vardaka Nukara, the great massacre, in which it is said that 75% of the Sikh nation was decimated. And yet a few decades later, the Sikhs established the greatest empire that that part of the world has ever known. We weren't decimated in 1984. Far from it. Just as we emerged stronger from the crucible of the Vardaka Nukara, so have we emerged stronger from the crucible that was the Tisra Kalukara, the third Holocaust. So I started my reflection by talking about semantics. Semantics are important. Let's not be naive. Let us start by not calling the events of 31 years ago Operation Blue Star. That was the name that the Indian government gave to the military operation. Let us call it what it was. Let us go back to our context, our history, and refer to this day from here on as the Tisra Kalukara, or the Third Holocaust. Why is it important to remember? I don't know. This is what our Guru taught us. Reflect upon the Ardas that we join in every time we gather, whether the occasion be sorrowful or joyous. In the Ardas, we remember and honor those innocents who perished in all of these holocausts that we talked about that happened in the 18th century? Were those who perished in the third Holocaust any less innocent than the ones who perished in the first and the second? Are they less worthy of our remembrance only because the events occurred just a mere 31 years ago? Of course not. I'm asking a rhetorical question. It is our nature to honor those innocents who were killed for no reason, no reason at all. I'm not even talking about the politics of 1984. I'm not even talking about the defenders of the city of Kalpakkad. I am talking about those innocents who were in the city Harmandir Sahib complex, who were mercilessly pulled out, who were lined up in front of walls and shot, their hands tied behind their backs with their turbans, which was reported by Brahma Chalani, the one foreign journalist who was left in the Punjab at that time because he had a brown skin. He was not identified as a foreign journalist. He filed those dispatches. He wrote about mass cremations. All of the information is out there. We need to own it. And most importantly, we need to remember that just as we commemorate the innocent victims of the 18th century, let us not stop honoring the victims of the Third Great Holocaust. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.